Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in unison, in unity with the New African Independence Movement. My name is Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy, and I am your host. And first of all, I want to give a big thank you to my brother, my comrade in the struggle, Brother Kakayi, for taking over in my absence in the last 2 weeks. He did a magnificent job. So big free the land, uhuru sa sa to my brother for doing that. But I'm back. And as always, this is the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people, where we discuss topics that are relevant to our struggle for independence here, for our struggle for land, for independence, for self-government, for the creation of an economic system that benefits the whole of our community instead of the ruling elite. But as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. But we want to start out by shining the spotlight on an individual or a event or an organization that played a significant role in the struggle for independence, in the struggle for liberation for new African people. And, of course, today is a big one. It's an important one. It's an individual who was a hero of mine, very inspirational brother, and I'm talking about none other than the Honorable Nat Turner. Now, Nat Turner was the leader of one of the most effective, and I say one because a lot of times many of the insurrections and revolts against the system of chattel slavery don't get talked about, because this type of spirit wanted to be the power structure, the European white power structure, white supremacist power structure, wanted to suppress any information about enslaved Africans rebelling against the system. So I want to emphasize that Brother Nat Turner, this is one of the most effective slave insurrections in U.S. history, not the only, but Brother Nat Turner led one of the most effective slave insurrections in the United States history against the system of chattel slavery. In 1831, he led a group of African enslaved freedom fighters against this system, killing several European slave owners, plantation owners, families. I think it totaled about 65, and although that number is up for debate. But in the area of 65 whites were killed during this fight for the end of this system of chattel slavery. Now, as a youth, Nat Turner was known for being exceptionally intelligent. He was able to be educated. He learned how to read. He was a very religious brother. In fact, he became a minister, a preacher, and it was his belief that he was called by God to lead a war against this system, against this brutal institution of chattel slavery. In fact, he once, in 1821, he escaped from this system of slavery. He ran away from his plantation. But during this time period, it is reported that he had a vision that it was his duty, that he was born to go back to this institution and free his brothers and sisters, to lead a war against this institution of slavery. So he returned, he voluntarily returned to the plantation and planned his revolt. And in On August 21st, 1831, he led an insurrection with a group of freedom fighters that resulted in the death of several whites, Europeans. Now, of course, he eventually was caught, and the revolt was put down, and he was lynched. But many people will make the argument that this rebellion, that this insurrection was actually the first battle in the Civil War, that this began to change the tide, began to change, helped to change the perception of the happy enslaved African, the African people, the enslaved person who was content with his conditions, that this system of chattel slavery was so somehow good for the enslaved African. He kind of put to bed any of those notions. And for that reason and several more, we want to honor our great brother Nat Turner. And, of course, many of you know there was a couple of weeks ago a movie was released talking about this brother called Birth of a Nation. The name itself is very instrumental because, if you don't know, Birth of a Nation originally was a movie that was produced and directed by a Ku Klux Klan member. And it was used as a recruitment tool for the Ku Klux Klan. It was about the end of the Civil War, and black people were free, and they were just running wild, raping, killing white women, and ultimately that led to the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, who came up and saved the day. And this, I think it was instrumental that this particular movie has that same name, Birth of a Nation. And when I listened to the director of the movie, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of the controversy that surrounds him, but he said something that was striking to me. He said that he's going to use his movie to as a recruitment tool, just like the original movie was a recruitment tool for the Ku Klux Klan. He's going to use it for a recruitment tool for the revolution, for the revolution of African people to fight against the system today. So I thought that was interesting. As for the movie itself, it doesn't go without controversy. I personally think that he did a very good job of depicting Nat Turner. He put him in a very positive light. There are some inaccuracies within the movies, especially at the end, how he was captured, who snitched on who, because in the movie it shows a little boy who got frightened and ran away and told. But all in all, I thought it was a good representation of Nat Turner himself. So with that, today, on this day, we want to shine the spotlight. We want to highlight. We want to uplift our great brother in the struggle, a true example of a freedom fighter, a true example of a revolutionary, someone who did not wait on someone to try to change the conditions for him, who decided to do something himself and try to change the conditions himself. That is the Honorable, the Prophet, Nat Turner. And that leads us to our topic for today. Are our people, our new African people, ready for revolution? Now, the reason why I bring this topic up is because, think about a month ago, is this artist by the name of Killer Mike. In some kind of conference, he talked about black people not being ready for revolution, saying if you're not preparing, if you're not shooting, if you're not knowing how to prepare your own food, if you don't have to do all of these different things, then you shouldn't be talking about revolution. And when I looked at this, I was kind of conflicted because on the one hand, I was like, yes, you're right. But on the other hand, I didn't really care for the position in which he came from basically what he deduced from the fact that many of our people are not prepared for revolution. But before I get into analyzing his statements, I'm going to play it for you so you can hear exactly what he said himself.
I have to say this because I know our spirit and our emotions get stirred. I'm not against nobody on the panel. I'm with everybody on the panel. I'm not diametrically opposed to anybody on the panel. I agree with everything my brother said about revolutionaryism. So let me ask you guys a few questions. We're in the South. We're in the heart of the South right now. Who fishes? Who knows how to fish? Hands down. Who knows how to hunt? Less hands. Hands down. Who shoots on a regular basis, meaning once or twice weekly? Hands down. Now, you see how many hands? Who farms or grows their own food right now? Hands down. You ain't ready to oppose nothing. You are as a part of this system as any white person gentrifying in this city. And you can't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I've lived in this neighborhood long enough to know when two out of every 5 yards had a garden in the back. I'm old enough to know him when the Muslim community was the strongest security force and food, their own food force in this community. Black people, I love you, and I love you enough to tell you, you ain't ready to revolt shit. You don't feed yourself. You don't hunt your own animals and slaughter them. You don't prepare your own meat. You don't own your own land. You don't have a seed growing in your window. So when you think about revolutionaryism and you think about fighting and dying in the street, you ain't shit if you can't feed your children. You ain't nothing if you can't teach your children to hunt. I've been hearing this revolutionary talk all my life. All my life, I've been seeing leaders get before me and tell me how much of a strong warrior. And just like the United States Army, just like the military, I've seen their words, send black boys out to die in the street fighting and arguing with police. You have no win. He was innocent and he got 19 years. His mama couldn't afford the right lawyer. His dad didn't know a senator. You have no wins. How many of you practice a martial art today? Who practices a martial art today? How many boys are practicing a martial art in your community today? Today. That's what I'm saying. We not ready to fight. You say fight back, fight the police. The police are trained to shoot. They are trained in martial combat. We're not. What are we going to do? Now, I'm not saying give up. I'm not saying you can't train yourself. But what I'm saying is, if you're not training every week, if you're not shooting every week, if you're not knowing how to grow your own food, arguing with me and arguing with the police ain't going to do nothing. Because if we all leave right now, and we got a speeding ticket, we ain't all going to agree not to pay it. You understand what I'm saying? I agree we steal slaves. I'm telling you right now today, Malcolm said by any means necessary. By any means necessary. And we're talking about children. We're talking about young men. These boys aren't even intelligent enough yet not to know what girl not to like. They're not even intelligent enough yet not to know how to, I always should have a condom. They're not even intelligent enough yet to know not to argue with their teachers. Don't send these babies off to die because you didn't die when you was 21. Don't you send these babies off to die because you feel like you missed the 60s and the 70s. I want to see more black attorneys, more black law enforcement. I want to see more black people pooling their money to run their own candidates. I want to see more black police officers that are from the neighborhood, because I'm telling you, they tried to leave one time and they formed Liberia. Look at Liberia now. Look at what Haiti did. They revolted. Every European country punishes Haiti for revolting. So if you're not going to revolt tomorrow, if you're not going to do like Elijah said and take all the southern states, if you're not going to gentrify Alabama, stop trying to grow warriors to fight a fight. You too scared to fight. You pay your speed tickets. You ain't not paying your tickets. You ain't telling kids how to bust out every car window. And then when they riot, you never there with them. When they riot, where's the church? Where are the teachers? Where are the institutions? So I'm just saying, you do what you want to. But as for me in my house, I'm going to raise a warrior that knows how to use his hands, knows how to use his mind, and loves the people with his heart. Your job is to survive the encounter. Survive the encounter. And when daddy gets there with a lawyer, when daddy makes sure you got a judge that looks like you, we'll deal with that other shit. But you survive the encounter, young man. Don't you down.
Okay, now that was Killer Mike on his rant about how we're not ready for revolution and how we should be focused on having more black police officers and lawyers and having black candidates and supporting and all of these type of things. Now, my take on that is, twofold. On the one hand, I can't, you know, you'd be a fool to disagree with the fact that if you are not preparing for revolution, if you are not training yourself in a military way, if you're not organizing institutions and organizations that are designed to defend your community, if you're not doing this, then of course you are not ready for revolution. You're really setting yourself up for the slaughter. Where I disagree with this brother is by listening to him, by listening to, you know, the very cadence of his voice, by listening to the spirit in which he comes, it's obvious that he's coming from a position of a coward. Because point blank, the obvious solution, or the obvious thing that comes to my head when you think of our people not being prepared for revolution is why not? All the signs are there. We are being attacked on all levels. Of course, the job is to survive the encounter. And I don't think any real revolutionary, anyone who is serious about revolution, would tell anyone to fight a police at a traffic stop, to argue with a police. You know, anyone who says that is someone who has absolutely no idea about military strategy. But for someone to sit up and say, well, we want black lawyers, black police officers, black judges, we've already done that. We have a black president. What else do you want? See, we have to stop being under the illusion that the solution to our problem is getting the right people in positions in the system. Because the problem is not the people in the system. The problem is the very nature of the system itself. The problem is the system. So it doesn't matter who we have within the system, because whoever gets into the system, their job is to uphold the system. And the system is based on the exploitation of the masses, the exploitation of the proletarian, the exploitation of the working class for the benefit of the ruling elite, the so-called bourgeoisie. And if we don't understand how the system operates, we'll still be under this impression or this idea that all we got to do is change the system. All we have to do is reform the system. All we have to do is get the right people in position. It becomes obvious to me, if we look into our community and we find that our people are not ready for revolution, that our people are not serious about revolution, that our job and our responsibility is to get them ready, to get them prepared. If you are one that shoots on a regular basis, if you are one who are military-minded, then it is your responsibility to go out and train those who are not. It is your responsibility to train people on how to survive. So, you know, this is the reason that I wanted to have this subject today. Are people ready? Are new African people, black people, are we ready for revolution? And if we're not ready for revolution, should we be preparing for revolution? Should we be getting ready for revolution? All the signs are there. We are under attack on all levels. It's much more than just a couple of police who are shooting us down in the streets. We are being attacked by the educational system, the justice system, the medical industry. There are experiments being ran on our children as we speak today in our communities. Our water supplies all over the United States have been poisoned. So this is the topic for today. Are our people ready for revolution? And if not, what should we be doing about it? Should we be trying to vote or get a candidate that's going to see things our way and come down from the sky and save us? Should we go and protest? Should we go and beg white people to change? Should we go run for office? Should we go join the police force? Should we go do any of these things? Or should we try to gain control of our own situation? Should we try to create our own system? Should we try to do some of the things that the brother said we're not doing? Should we acquire land? should we create our own military force to defend our community? So this is what we want to deal with today. Are our people ready for revolution? And if not, what should we be doing about it? And as always, we're joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community, and I have my brother Kakaiye on the line. Brother Kakaiye, are you there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, comrade.
Free the land, I am, I will. What do you think? I know you were here and you heard the whole rant by Killer Mike. And so what do you think? Are people ready for revolution? If not, what should we be doing? Should we just be running for office and trying to get more black people in position so we can reform the system? Or should we be going another route? What are your thoughts, brother?
Well, you know, first I'd like to I'll answer that question, but I'd like to rebuttal the rhetoric of Killer Mike, because, you know, first, there's a foundation that we all have to have, and that's an understanding of our history, to be able to put things in historical context. You know, all problems have solutions. That's number one. So if there's a problem that exists that you're explaining about, then the way to go is to solve the problem. And since we know that all problems have solutions, we should go in the direction of the solution. And when you begin to have excuses, then, you know, excuses don't get results. So the brother is doing some of, breaking some of the natural laws of the universe, and that is not recognizing that there is a solution to the problem and then making excuses so we don't get any results. Because to answer your question, the masses of the people who are in direct contact with the contradictions of this oppressive, exploitive system of capitalism, imperialism, neocolonialism, are always ready, because they're right there. They're ready. What the problem is that the leaders are not ready. And that's the part that we need to work on, because in anything that we encounter in life, nothing is ready-made. So we have masses of people who see the contradictions of this system, and we have to make them and prepare them to be ready. And the only way to do that is to have our leaders step up and, like you said, begin to start training and teaching. It doesn't mean that we can't have an option of revolution to solve our problem. We know the solution to the problem is revolution. We as leaders have to begin to do our part. You know, when the masses are ready, when the masses are ready and they're not up to snuff, then leaders have to recognize that it's their blood responsibility and historical duty to prepare them. And anytime we have warriors and masses of our people not ready for revolution, the leaders have to recognize that that's their fault. That's the leaders' fault. And so for all the leaders out there, we just have a task at hand. That's everyday life. You get up to go to work every day. You don't say because you don't have any money to pay your rent that you're going to take the high road out and be a punk like Killer Mike and not go to work to take care of your bills. You have a solution. You have a problem, and the solution is to get your butt out there and find resources and finances to pay your bills. You don't sit on the high road and say, well, we ain't ready to pay our bills, so don't do nothing. There's some excuses. The brother has made points about problems. Yeah, you can recognize the problems, but you know that there's a solution. Go for the solution. Stop sitting on your butt being a coward and not recognizing that it's a collective thing. When you start talking about, I'm going to teach my family how to use martial arts and use their mind, that's a cop-out, because you've taken on the characteristics of the exact system that is exploiting and oppressing you. Individualism. The one who does what he does gets the benefit. No, we have a whole race, a whole nation, a whole community, a whole family, to put it in reverse so you can understand how close it is to you individually, that we are responsible for. We ain't responsible for just our son or our daughter. We're responsible for our whole family. We're responsible for our whole community. We're responsible for our whole nation. We're responsible for our whole race. And when to see a brother like that that know a little of his history and decides to take the high road out as a punk, it appalls me for him not to recognize what he's doing and for him to try to mislead and guide our people. The leaders are the ones that are not ready, not the masses of the people. And anytime the masses of the people are not prepared to do what it takes to get our liberation and freedom, then it remains the fault of the leaders. And obviously that brother ain't a leader. And for all the leaders out there listening to me, get on our job and do what we know that we need to do for the solution to our problem. It's been going on for decades. We have tried back in the 60s when we started all over again trying to have national liberation movements going on. We had what we call, at that time, the blacks put all existing programs for black freedom to a test. And in our struggle revealed that the total bankruptcy of peaceful integration, which was culminated into a program called Free by 63, where we revealed that all remedies had been exhausted. And all the old reformist leaders and their supporters and the revisionist colored peoples of the United States movement had to be put aside. And we knew that we had to fight. And the masses had to learn how to get themselves prepared. And that's where we are today. And I don't want to keep going on, but the brother is grossly wrong, and he is committing treason to our people to tell them that the solution to the problem is to reform and integrate when we know what position we have gotten ourselves in going that route. And thank you for giving me an opportunity, brother, and I thank you for putting a shout out for me, and you're doing a wonderful job yourself, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Now, thank you again for taking over the show in my absence. But as always, we have a lot of some of the brightest minds in the new African community, and this time is just going by super fast. But I definitely want to hear from my sister, who's just getting back from the islands, if I'm correct. My sister, Ayo Deli. How you doing, Mama Ayo? You still here? You here?
Yes, I am. See the land, brother.
Free the land, sister. I am. I will. First, welcome back from your trip. Good to have you back. Good to hear your voice. So you've been listening in, and I know you caught some of what Killer Mike said about how we're not ready for revolution and we should be focused on gaining more black police officers and reforming the system and politics and all of these things and not focus on revolution because we're not ready. So the question is for today, are we ready for revolution? And if we're not, what should we be doing? Should we be getting prepared, or should we be saying, well, we're not ready for that, therefore I'm just going to try to go vote or fund the candidate or some of the things that the brothers talked about? So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the masses are ready for revolution because you see the reactionary portion of our interaction with the system. I think that since the time that we were brought here as enslaved Africans, we've been ready and we've been doing the best that we can based on the knowledge and the history of our interaction with the system, with capitalism, imperialism, and white supremacy and racism. The only problem we have is that the anger, the distrust, the stress, the irritation with the system is basically turned in towards ourselves. It's as if the victim is blaming the victim, when we should be blaming the system that is putting us in these oppressive conditions. When we have brothers and sisters who feel like the answer is to keep begging for white supremacy, racism, imperialism to accept us, to love us, to honor the struggle that we have put down in this country for 400 years, it's incorrect. we need to be looking at turning inward, turning to ourselves to find the most brilliant and best minds and to understand very clearly that who the enemy is, how the enemy operates. That's our dilemma. That's what we are doing all the time. We feel like capitalism, imperialism is a system that we can work it within because some of us have moved on up and been able to be educated and go on and we're heads of companies and we're mayors and lawyers. We even have a black president. So we feel that capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy and racism work when it really doesn't because you have, when we peel back the layers, we have a race of people who have been fighting, struggling, stressing from the time that we've come on these foreign shores. Now, just because we've been here 400 years doesn't mean that we still don't struggle because we've so-called been emancipated and on paper we're supposed to be citizens when the very nature of this whole system does not allow us to be fully citizens. How do we know? Because 90% of our men and women, 80% of our women, 90% of our men are incarcerated for minor. Yes, some major infractions, some minor infractions. But the level of punitive actions against our people are over-exaggerated. It is unnecessary for a system to be at direct odds with us, to always be antagonistic, to always be putting us on the defensive. So some of the comments that the brother made as far as teaching our children to be respectful to our elders, to teaching them to love one another and to protect one another, to be citizens of our nation, to be citizens for the black nation, to be always protective and honoring children, honoring women, honoring elders. Those are things that we definitely have to incorporate into the nation. But are we ready for revolution? Definitely. How do we better prepare? Is to study and to learn and to build a system of accountability for one another, which was we have seen at various points in our history in this land, and it has to be reincorporated because the what I call the subliminal messages, the programming, the food, the water, the diet, the whole essence of the society has to be analyzed. And it isn't coming from an African perspective. It's coming from a European perspective, one that they have impressed upon the world, one that we seek because we don't know who we are to attain their value. We have to stop and say, that's not who we are as an African people. That's not what our value system is. That's not what we believe in. And be able to be bold enough to stand up for it and then we can talk about what does revolution look like. It's not just taking up weapons. It is a change of a mindset that will eventually bring down an empire. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am. I will. So good to hear from my sister and so happy that you had a safe return over here. And we are almost out of time. Like I said, time just flies. But before we get out of here, I will say this. I mean, it's almost like a broken record. We come here every week and we say the same thing. Anytime you're in a situation where your political systems, economic systems, social systems, justice systems, educational systems, all of the systems that govern your very lives are controlled by individuals, are controlled by the people who have historically benefited from your exploitation, you can never expect to solve your problems as long as this system exists, as long as this relationship to this system exists. So then the question has to be asked, what are we to do about it? We've tried voting. We've tried running for office. None of this is new. Right after the Civil War, we had plenty of black politicians, plenty of black people in positions of power. And what happened? It was all taken away. because this system is based on exploitation, and African people, new African people, black people, have always, under this system, been the subjects of that exploitation. That is our place within this system, is not to be full citizens. You look at the data. You look at how we are, our treaties. You look at, it's the very reason why the brother made those comments about how we should survive the encounter, because we are not treated the same. We are not full citizens. If we were full citizens, then there would need no need to be legislation to give us rights, because a citizen has rights. So we have to understand that the very nature of the system is based on oppression and exploitation, especially of our people. So like I said, the question becomes, what do we do about it? Do we continue the same thing, trying to beg white people to accept us? And we've been doing this for 400 years. I think it's a quote saying that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. Or are we going to say, okay, it's time to draw a line in the sand and say this generation right here is the generation that's going to end this. Now, when it comes to revolution, I'm no idiot. To quote our great freedom fighter Malcolm X, El Haj Malik El Shabazz, a lot of people use that word revolution too lightly, too loosely, because a lot of people, if they understood what revolution really was, they would want no parts of it. Because revolutions are no walk in the park. They're no so-called family gathering, no party. Revolutions are serious. But if we are under the understanding, if we have studied our history, and we have come to the conclusion that revolution is necessary because we cannot continue to exist under the same situation, then our leadership has a blood responsibility to the people, because the people are always ready. People are always tired of Charlie putting his foot on our neck. So it is the job of the leadership to prepare the people for the revolution, prepare our people to change the system, prepare our people to get a real solution, to gain real freedom. Because you understand, freedom is not simply gaining acceptance by white people. Having white people love us, that's not freedom. Freedom is having land, independence, self-government, and the establishment of an economic system that is not based on the exploitation of the masses. That's what freedom is. And until we gain that, then we can't even really call ourselves free. The only freedoms that we have are the ones that European, that the white power structure allows us to have. And once we exercise those freedoms in a way that they disapprove, then they take them away and brutally come down against us. And if we ever want that to change, then we ought to make some serious decisions. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. J-Ra Amati. I want to thank everyone for joining us every week. Join us next week as we will be discussing topics that are relevant to the new African independence movement as we struggle for land, independence, self-government, and the creation of scientific socialism, an economic system that benefits the whole and not just the individual. See you all next week. Thanks to everyone who called in, everyone who listened, everyone who participated in the show. Free the land, brothers and sisters. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any